I know will be coming, but we'll just start without them for now. Greetings, everyone, all those who are here today and all those who are online. I just want to say thank you for being here. Praise God. And we're going to go ahead now and just pray and ask the Lord to bless the service. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, Lord, we thank you now for the blood of Jesus, Lord God, and for the power of your Spirit, Lord God, and for the power of your Word. Oh, Lord, in the all-encompassing blood of Christ that cleanses and redeems, oh, Lord Jesus, I praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing now in the hearts of all those, Lord God, who are not only here today, but will be coming here, but all those who are online, oh, Lord Jesus. All those that you're working with and through and for, Lord God, I pray that you would bless them today, that the Word of God would not return void. Oh, Lord God, your Spirit would rest heavily upon this church today, Lord Jesus, upon this service, we pray. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord God, whether we have many or few. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. We thank you, Lord God, now, under the blood, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Well, we're going to, I know it's Mother's Day today, and we have a lot of folk who are not here because of that, so... Anyways, I would just like to say Happy Mother's Day for all those who are moms. That you have a great day. We'll go ahead and begin now. There's a song called 123 in the chorus, Peace, Peace. If we could go there, sing that.
Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows above. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows above.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
Well, praise God. I know it's good to be here. I don't know about you, but I feel good today. It's a beautiful day outside, and it's not often I feel good on a Sunday morning. Usually the devil's trying to get to me somehow. But I prayed extra hard. And I know we prayed for the service yesterday too. And then out at my office in the garage, I prayed. And I know that it's... I just feel the peace of God. I don't know. I feel pretty good about it.
Thank you, God.
So... If we could go to another song, I don't think we still have it in the book. I think that Jane is working on a chorus book, but we have a song. It's called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. If we could, I know that there might be a printout somewhere out there if anyone needs, raise your hand. Otherwise, it's a real short chorus. It's easy to understand. It's called Have Thine Own Way, Lord. If we could just sing that.
have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. After thy will, for after thy will,
oh Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you.
Praise God in heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, I would like to thank all those who could make it here. I know it's a Mother's Day, and I know, like I said earlier, there are many that are not here today because of Mother's Day, but for all the those that were nice and gracious and kind enough to come on a Mother's Day, I just want to say thank you for being here. May God bless you, be with you all today, and it's a great blessing. Praise God. And I just want to encourage people to look to Jesus today. You know, the Lord has a way of speaking to hearts. The Lord has a way of encouraging people and strengthening people in their hour of need. Amen. I know that we have no other hope, but that we have the hope of glory in us. Amen.
Praise you.
That is the only hope that we have, that the world has. If they could just grab a hold of that hope of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. That promise from the very beginning. That promise that if people would hold on to that anchor of promise, and through every storm in life that you go through, you can be rest assured that you can have that victory. You can have those promises made from the very foundations of the earth. Made from the very beginning. We know that there is a Lord Jesus who is coming again very soon. And the Bible says that He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
He's coming back for a people that have given their lives so wholly and fully to the Lord, that they will be washed and cleansed and set free. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible commands us to walk in obedience and walk by faith. And with that, I would want to encourage you, if you don't have a printout among or where you're at, there's a song that I want to go to. and it's called "Oh to Be Like Thee." And there's a printout. Do we have printouts somewhere like that?
We do have this house. Maybe
"Oh to
all
Be Like Thee." Yeah.
In the pews.
Is it in the pews there? Okay.
Well.
Also, I guess you probably have one of those little brown books.
Yeah, or if you have a little brown book. Gospel Melodies, too. It's in there.
I think
it's in the Red Book. Oh, but that's, you know, right. What page? 42?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. I guess Jane told me that it's in page 42 of the regular hymnal. How neat is that? Yeah, there it is. So praise God. It's right there. We'll go there. In fact, I'll just put the other one away here. Praise God. And if we could go there and sing that song, make this a prayer. Make this something in your heart that you would ascribe to in your life, that you would ask the Lord to make you a part of, to transform, make and mold, as we sung earlier, that song. That you would be committed, dedicated, and submitted to the Lord and yielded to Him in such a way and a manner that this would be your earnest desire, your earnest prayer, to want to do all those things that are good, right, and pleasing in the Lord's sight. So much so that that is a passion that is in you. That is something that means everything to you. That you can't get to heaven unless we are more like Christ. The Bible says that we cannot get there of our own goodness. Our own righteousness is filthy rags. But we can get there by one way only. That's through the door of Jesus Christ. And that's not of good works. Good works have a place in our lives. It goes hand in hand with faith. Amen? But one without the other is no good. It's kind of like paddling a canoe or a boat. For example, if you have an oar, one would be named works. One oar here would be called faith. And if you were to try to go across the body of water using just one and not the other, you just go in circles. You've got, like, you have, if you start using the oar, you could just go and use the oar of works, and you would just go around and around and around and around. Same thing with faith. Faith will get you a long way, but without works, it's dead. If you use both oars, you'll glide across the water. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. To be more like Him.
Amen.
We can't get there unless we're first cleansed and washed under the blood. Then we need Jesus to cleanse us every day. And to be more like Thee, that's my cry. How about yours?
Yes, amen, Jesus.
Let's go.
Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all the earth's treasures, Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, here as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep in my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking and wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring, cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, here as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive anointing divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, from this moment, all thine. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, here as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, while I am pleading, pour out Thy Spirit, filled with love. Make me a temple, meet for Thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, here as Thou art. Oh, to be like this, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, here as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart.
Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus in heaven. Thank You, Lord God. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God of heaven, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father, Lord God. Oh, Heavenly Father, have Your way, Lord. Have Your way, Lord God.
Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord Jesus.
Praise God. You know, the Bible says that the Lord's word will not return void. In other words, when you read the word of God and you believe it and you receive the word of God, by faith, the Lord will honor that. You know, if a person just reads a book, just to read a book, you're not going to get anything out of it, are you? If you read the Word of God, the very words of life itself, it was written there for a reason.
Amen.
It was written there as a roadmap to get you from here to heaven.
Praise You, Lord.
But you see, for those that reject the Word of God, for those that have no time for the Word of God and who mock the Word of God. That very word would grind that person to powder, the Bible talks about.
Amen.
And you see, a man or woman cannot get away with mocking God.
That's right.
But we all must come before God lowly, meekly, submitted, walking with humility, walking with faith. Trusting God for the outcome. Asking the Lord to transform and renew our minds. To help us to become more and more like Him.
Yes, Lord.
Because otherwise there is no hope and there's no change. And the Lord said He's coming back for a people without spot and wrinkle. And that could happen at any moment. My question is, who will be ready? Will I be ready? Will you be ready? Will anybody be ready? The Bible says when He comes back on earth, will He find faith on the earth?
Yeah.
Because it's going to get so bad out there that it's going to be very difficult for people to live the Christian walk, to live the Christian faith. It's going to be very difficult because the devil's going to make sure that he's going to use anyone he can, whether it be family, whether it be friends, relatives, circumstances, illnesses, monetary situations in your life. It could be any number of reasons, the government coming down on people, things of that nature. It could be anything. My question is where is your faith? Is it in that? Is it in all the things that are around you that are rising up like large waves in your life? Or is your faith going to be on the words and promises found written in the Word of God? The very Word that we'll be judged on one day.
That's right.
So, I would encourage people the world over and here to simply put everything aside. All those worries and fears. All those things that come against you. Because, look, I know I've had enough in my own life and I've made plenty of mistakes. And I thank God for God's mercy and grace, not only in my life, but in everyone's life.
Amen.
We all need that so much.
Amen.
And I just can't emphasize enough the need for people to come. When you go before God, whether it's in prayer or you go to church, and if the Word of God is being presented in such a manner, if the Word of God is being spoken of by faith and preached soundly, then I would ask you to please receive it. If the preacher or teacher or whatever is not walking with God, is not walking doctrinally sound, then I would say, run for your life. Get out of there. Don't listen. Go. But if the Word of God is being presented, if the Word of God is being taught in such a manner that you can feel the truth, that you can know in your spirit that this is right. Only you and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. Amen. The Lord can speak to you. I don't. The Bible says that we have no need that another man would teach another. Because it was said there because the Lord wants you to know and realize that there is a person, one and the same, Jesus, who by His Spirit would like to lead and guide you. The Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
And anything that is done or said should either witness or not witness with your spirit. Amen?
That's right.
So it's important to know that. Don't look to me. I'm nothing to nobody at all. Amen? The only good in me is what the Lord Jesus Christ put here. Otherwise, I don't look at myself as anyone at all. I really don't. And I hope that you all would feel the same, to do the same in your own life. I can't speak for anyone but me. That's all I can say about that. But I just pray that you would go before God with the earnest seeking, earnestly looking to the Lord to lead, guide, and direct you. There is a song I'm hoping that we can sing now. Number 83, we haven't sung that in quite a while. Number 83 in the chorus book here, called From the Rising of the Sun. If we could go there and go there and sing that, but praise God and think about yourself praising God until in the morning, until the sun goes down, all the day long. You know, David talked often about that, didn't he, in the Psalms? Let's go there and sing that.
From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. I praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Thank you, Lord. Praise God in heaven.
Thank you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead now and take up our tithes and offerings, and I would ask if Doug would be gracious enough to come here and take up that collection. Thank you, my brother. Amen. Oh, Lord God, I pray that if there's anyone here that has a need or a prayer request, a testimony of any kind, please feel free to raise your hand. Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord never changes. That's what I like, because the Lord's always consistent. People can be fickle. People can be up one moment, down the next, but God is the same always. Thank you, brother. I want to praise God here today and ask the Lord to just bless the service and that His Spirit would just take over completely in Jesus' name. Amen. And by the grace of God, Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank You for what You're doing. And Lord, I thank You, O Lord God, that You would help us to continue to be good stewards, O Lord God, of the monies, the tithes, gifts, and offerings that are brought in, Lord God, be used for Your purpose, for Your glory under heaven, Lord God, making a difference eternally. We pray in Jesus' name, under the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Shirley. Appreciate Your help with the piano. Very good. Praise You, Lord. Amen. And the message of today that I have, that the Lord gave me, is When I Turn Back Your Captivity, is the name of it, according to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3:20. But we're not going to go there right now. We're going to start off in the book of Peter. And before we go any further, I would just like to pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, I thank You, Lord, for what You're doing now, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that every stronghold, every hardened heart, Lord God, would be brought under submission unto Thee, Lord God. All those that are online, all those that are here, that they would yield to Your precious word, Lord God, that I would yield, Lord, that we would all be in one mind, one heart, together in agreement and one accord, Lord God. I pray, O Lord God, that every wicked devil or demon would be driven out, Lord God, from interfering or trying to steal the word of God from these people. O Lord God, let your spirit, O Lord God, be here. Invited, You are invited to be here, Your presence. Walk in the aisles of every heart, Lord God, all those that are here and afar. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Lord. I'm hoping to start off in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3. And starting in verse 10. And here the name of the message again is called, When I Turn Back Your Captivity. I just want you to bear with me because we're going to be trying to cover a lot of Scripture today. Going through a lot of various Scripture readings to get us to that point in Zephaniah. And I'm hoping to paint a picture for you somewhat, as best I know how, as inadequate as I am. But by the grace of God, again, the Word of God does not return void. Amen? And all those who can receive the Word of God, it will do a work in you. Amen? So bear with me as we go here now. And I'm probably going to go immediately after the first one or two verses to Psalm 34. So let's go here to verse 10. It says, For he that will love life and see good days, it says here, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Before we go any further, I'm hoping to go to Psalm 34. I have here in my Bible, I've got the pages marked. Thank God. I never used to do that, but I do now. I can go right to it. And starting here in Psalm 34, I just want to read a few verses, 12 through 16, to parallel what we just read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But it says here in verse 12, Psalm 34, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" It says here, "What man?" If any, if there be any man out there, anywhere, any man or woman, it doesn't matter what lot in life you are, what you are dealing with in life, and who you are, where you're located, your age, all of that doesn't matter. But it goes on to say here, "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil." Now, who's ever had a trouble with your tongue? You can raise your hand. I'm raising both hands. Okay? I've had trouble with it. Amen? How about you? But you see, the Lord is in the business of renewing and transforming. And I can stand here today and thank God that He's doing a work in me, and I know He's doing a work in you. "Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good, seek peace, and pursue it," it says here. In other words, let your speech be full of grace, full of goodwill towards others. "Depart from evil, and do good, seek peace, pursue it." In verse 15 it says here, "The eyes of the Lord," now listen, "the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." Did you see that? "And His ears are open unto their cry." See, in other words, when you go before God and you have no guile in you, you can go before God without any dread. You can go there with confidence and know that the Lord is going to hear your prayer. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil," it says here, "to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." If a man or woman decides that they're not going to live such a life, if they're going to do what they want, when and how they want, without regard to the Word of God, they do so, we all do so, at our own peril, if we were to do such a thing. Amen? Because if we have guile in our hearts, if we speak evil towards somebody else or about another, we have unforgiveness in here. It is the root of bitterness. And somehow, we've got to be able to see that and allow the Lord to take it out by the root. That's going to call for an earnest time of repentance and prayer, seeking God that He would cleanse us. Everyone, all of us, anyone who's online that can hear this. This is for everybody the world over. Anyone who would hear this. People have to understand the need to control the tongue, because with the tongue, it fans major flames into uncontrollable fires that causes irreparable damage in the lives of all those who partake in that. Amen? Going back now to 1 Peter. This wasn't meant to be a Mother's Day message, so I hope that you can bear with me. I'm not that, I don't know, polished, but I just go with what the Lord gives me. And I have to go with that. And it goes on to say here in verse 13, in 1 Peter chapter 3, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" In other words, who is it? Who could possibly hurt or harm you? If God be for you, who could be against you? The Word of God says. But if ye suffer, can you see this now? "But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." Did you see that? Because when you suffer for doing good and righteous, you're in the company of the Lord Jesus. You're in that place where you are being accounted worthy, along with all those saints who have gone on before, to be counted worthy. That's quite something to think about.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It goes on to say, "Happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts," it says here. In other words, you know, when you have people coming against you, it's a hard thing sometimes to go into the woodshed over there and praise God. Or to go somewhere in your privacy, wherever you are, wherever you work, or whatever you do in your home or wherever. It's a hard thing sometimes to get to that point in your life where you can honestly say that when you things come against you, you can praise God and know that God is doing a work. Amen?
Amen.
But it's possible. I want you to know today that it's doable. I want you to know that today it can be done. The Word is the same today as it was yesterday, as it was from the beginning. And it goes on to say here, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You might have people in your lives that are unbelievers. People in your lives that don't know the Lord, that maybe are teeter-tottering on eternity and they don't even know it. And we are to have a word in season and out of season, speaking with fear and meekness, knowing that it could be us that could be in their shoes. Amen?
Amen.
For all those that don't know the Lord, we are to be a light to them, a witness, so that they can see the good works and glorify God. Later, coming to know by faith what it means to live in Christ. What it means to repent. What it means to want to have that desire to get right with God and get right with people. No matter who and where you are. No matter what your situation or lot in life is. Goes on to say here, "Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well doing than for evil doing." Amen. It's better for somebody somewhere to try to harm you in some way for doing good. For doing a good work. For doing it by faith in Jesus' name. Than for you to do something that you have done wrong and then to suffer for it. For then what benefit is there to that? What fruit can come from that? Except that you hit your head against a brick wall over and over until you begin to realize, "Oh Lord God, who will deliver me from this body of death," as Paul talked about. "I wish to do good, The good that I do evil. The evil that I wish, that I don't want to do, I do. The Bible talks about. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. In other words, when you die to the sin, death, and the devil, die to the flesh, die to the things in this world around you so that you can live in the Spirit. There always must come a dying to the flesh before you can live in the Spirit. There's no other way. We must die to the sin in our lives. And we must die to the old way of thinking that somehow, well, this is what I was taught my whole... I grew up Catholic, for example. My whole life, I grew up, I used to be an altar boy. I used to do this, I used to do that. I used to, you know, my whole growing up years until I left home. You know, I love Catholic people, but we must be delivered from religion. We need to be delivered from falsehoods of every kind. That's not speaking evil of anyone who goes there. Or if it's not Catholicism, it might be Presbyterianism, or somebody might be Methodized, or, you know, all these other sort of Calvinistic type teachings. You know, there's no fruit in that. And we ought to know what the Word of God says, and it needs to line up with the Word of God for there to be any hope, for there to be truth, so that we can see the truth and trust it for what it is and live the truth. Because without the Word of God, we don't know what's right or wrong. We don't know whether we're coming or going.
Amen.
We need that. We need that road map.
Amen.
Now, if we could just go to Matthew chapter 10. Thankfully, I've got it marked. I can go right there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Boy, praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
I just want to encourage people because there's something that people need to know. That if we draw back when persecution comes, if we flinch, if we draw back and say, I don't want no more of that, no, just get me out of here. No. If we draw back, and we turn away from doing good. We disengage from fighting the good fight and running the good race. Then the devil has gained ground and taken that victory from us. And I want to encourage people to know that God, when He redeems you, He gives you power to overcome. He gives you the strength and He works with you. He has great forbearance and patience also. Even though you might fall 7 times, but a righteous man gets up every time after falling 7 times and gets back up and doesn't give up and goes on forward, onward and upward. It's a battle and it's a fight. But you are able to overcome. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen. That's what the Word of God teaches us. In verse 26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. In other words, there is no such thing as going through life thinking that you're going to be hiding things from people. Thinking that you can hide anything from God. Because you see, God is spirit. And He's everywhere at once. He knows everything all the time. Nothing's hidden from His eyes. Not a thing. He knows your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. And it goes on to say in verse 27, "What I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." In other words, we can't faint. I want to encourage you that if the Lord speaks something to you, don't faint. Don't look at the people's faces and become afraid and fearful. But speak the truth in love, because you love and fear God more than, and you love the truth more than the love of the world or anything in the world, more than your own family. The Bible says that if you don't love the Lord more than your own loved ones, you're not worthy to come after me. You're not worthy of me, the Bible says. Because you see, each and every one of us must stand before God individually. Individually. There's no difference. And God's no respecter of persons. And you all know that. I know that. At least most of you. I don't know who does or doesn't for sure, but at least if you've been coming here for a while, you should know that much. Goes on to verse 28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You know, some people don't believe that there's literal hell. Some people think that they go to some place, and I'm not going to mention right now, and that they can have other people pray them out of a holding place in hell. That's not right. That's not accurate, and that's not true. Because the Bible talks about once you die, then the judgment. What, as soon as you die, you're going to go one of two places. Heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no priest or some prophet or person can pray you out of some in between place. No statue, no scapular, no sacrament, none of that can save you. But the Word of God. Amen. But Jesus, who died on the cross. And this isn't picking on any one religion or any one person. This has to do with all religions. Because I'm using that as an example, because there are religions the world over who have their own way of thinking on how they can get to heaven. And there's only one way. And I just want to encourage people to know that that way can be found if you seek the Lord. That way can be found. You'll be found of Him.
Amen. Praise
you, Lord. In verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven." You know, you have folks, so-called born-again Christians, that are going to sit there and say to the people out there, "Now all eyes closed, all heads bowed, and all anyone who wants to come to the Lord, raise your hand." Now that's a mockery. Is it not? Now I can understand those that don't know the Lord. But these are people that supposedly know the Lord. The Bible says that if you're ashamed of Him, He's going to be ashamed of you. All these so-called Christians and these Christian churches, it's a joke. And it ought not to be that way. They should just be willing to come up and obey the Lord and just not worry about what others think. Just come up and say, hey, I love the Lord.
That's right.
I love God. I'm not ashamed of it.
Praise you, Lord.
And raise your hand and shout if you have to.
Right.
Nothing else matters. On that day, nothing else will matter.
Right.
I promise you. I promise you. Nothing else will matter on that day. But that you can say, I know the Lord and I've been redeemed. Nothing else will matter. It goes on to say here, in verse 32 now, and it goes on to say, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whomsoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. You know, there are people that are, for example, I just received a piece of information from a dear friend out in the Netherlands. And here he sent some information regarding Calvin, John Calvin. Did you know that Calvin had over 58 people murdered because they didn't agree with him, his way of, his style of, his understanding of the Word of God? They had him... for example, they had this one man who was reading the Word of God, and Servetus, I believe his name was, Michael Servetus. And he came against that Calvinistic teaching. And he came against that false theology that Calvin taught. And at one point, they were friends for over 20 years. But somehow Calvin... I didn't realize Calvin was that bad. I didn't know it. I didn't know it until he sent me that information. I read through it. I didn't realize that, but boy, was he a traitor. Now, there are going to be traitors in your life. There are going to be traitors everywhere that would just as soon rather turn you in and have you killed and murdered because, you know, you don't subscribe to what they think and feel is right. You see, but that's religion. Religion kills. Muhammad, for example. He's got all these followers of Islam and following after him, and he was completely opposite of anything Jesus ever did or stood for.
Amen.
Completely opposite. He wasn't deity. He wasn't God. Instead, Muhammad took up the sword and murdered people. And looted homes. He did all these things to kill, steal, and destroy. He did the devil's bidding. And here Jesus gave up his own life for you and me.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, it says here. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now that might seem like a contradiction of terms, but it's not. Because you see, the Word of God, which is the sword of God, which is truth, is going to cut through. And it's going to either cut asunder those things and divide those things that won't agree and won't submit to the Lord. Those types of people, those folk who neglect so great a salvation, who reject the Word of God as truth. That's what the Bible talks about here. Those kinds of people now, the Lord is going to cut them asunder. But those that receive the Word of God, those that receive the good graces of Almighty God, that receive His mercy and truth, hey, the Lord is going to just do a pruning job in your life. He's going to cut asunder those things that don't belong in your life. He's going to prune your life so that you can grow and flourish more. And it goes on to say, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and his daughter, and against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." In other words, it says here in verse 36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. But he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross." Now, the cross was meant for one thing, and that was to die. The cross was meant for one thing, that when you pick up the cross, you die to the things around you. There was no other form of redemption. There is no other way of being resurrected than that you first die and then you have the Lord resurrect your life. Amen? That cross is there so that we would pick it up and follow the example of what the Lord had to go through. I just want to say that the cross does not allow for compromise and negotiation. The cross of Jesus did not come with a posturpedic padding. Amen? It didn't come with that kind of comfort zone. But it came so that we would understand the need to know that in the flesh, in the world, is only death. And when Jesus came back, He came back for you and me as a man or a woman to be transformed and renewed from the old way of life. And we would drop away the things of the flesh and the world that we grew into. We were all born into sin. And that how we need so much to know that when we live, we must first die. When we die, we truly live. The way up is the way down. I praise God for that knowledge, for that understanding, for instilling that in me. And I know that He can do it in you if it's not already there. In verse 39, "He that findeth his life in this life," it says here. Now listen. "He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Did you see that? In other words, the Lord is requiring that all those that would come after Him would be willing to not only live for Him, but to die for Him. Not only to live for Him, but to die for Him. In other words, that nothing else in life matters more than following after the Lord. Nothing else matters more than that you be found doing His will and that you trust in Him for deliverance. "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him," the Bible says. We can trust God. The Lord's looking for such a people, like Abraham. We all have Isaacs in our life, don't we? We all have Isaacs. But Abraham went to that mountain. And he obeyed God. The Lord wanted to find out if Abraham would truly be a friend of His or not. But when Abraham went to that mountain, He was told to sacrifice Isaac and Abraham, who put Isaac on the altar, was ready to slay Isaac. Now, the angel interrupted that and stopped Abraham, of course, from killing his own son. That's not the Lord's way to do things, but he was testing him. But so it is in our own life. We all have Isaacs in our life that we need to put on the altar. We all have Isaacs. It might be holidays. It might be money. It might be extravagance. It might be friends. It might be jobs. It might be this or that. Anything that would hinder or keep us away from hearing God's voice, from hearing God's direction in our lives. And whosoever, let's just see here, 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he shall receive, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive the righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink or to drink unto one of the little these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You see, when you support someone, when you encourage somebody, that is a form of giving them a cup of cold water. When you do something for somebody and you know that they need help, that is what you're doing. That shall in no wise be left behind or lost. The Lord knows what He's doing, and He's very fair. He's just. Let's go to Luke chapter 12, if you would. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Did you know a little bit of hypocrisy is like a little bit of strychnine? A little bit of poison in the water? A little bit of poison in the food? Did you know that a hypocritical person will always despise those that do good? That's what they did to Jesus, didn't they? For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon housetops. We went over that earlier, how that nothing can be hid. But I say unto you, and my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you, whom ye shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. You know, hell, nobody, no man or woman could ever put into words the treachery, the horror of hell. If you think about putting your hand over a little flame of fire, how hot that gets. Magnify that about a couple of 100,000 times in your mind, what it would feel like to be engulfed in flames where there is no peace or rest, day or night. Yeah, fear God. And are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye, fear not therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. They say that redheads have 90,000 hairs. Brunettes have 120,000 hairs. And blondes have 145,000 hairs in their head. Whether that be true or not, I don't know. That's the figure that they give. But God knows. God knows exactly how much. And also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied. Now hear this, before the angels of God. If you get to that door, like that man that tried to knock on the door of heaven, and that door was closed, it was too late. He wasn't ready. It was too late. He wasn't filled with the oil of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Have you ever had a door shut in your face? It's not a pleasant thing. Believe me. When I was in that cult years ago, I remember how that the Lord delivered me from all that. Yes. I was searching. I was young, you know, going through what I was going through. And I remember how that I wanted to leave that cult. I said, I tried to leave as graciously as I could. And I made mention to them. I says, look, I says, I just want to thank you for all that you've done. And I think that, I came here, I learned what I learned, and I just feel it's time for me to move on now. You know? I tried to make my way out of that place in a hurry. But I didn't want to make it obvious to them. But then, it's a long story. I have that on my testimony. If anyone cares to listen to it, but long story short, I won't go into all the details. She began to falsely prophesy that morning that all those who disavow what they have, made a vow to the Lord, will go into wandering all the days of their life and then suffer eternity in hell. And I knew she was targeting me. I knew it. I didn't know for sure if I was even hearing from God correctly. That was the place I was in with my walk with God. I wasn't 100% sure what I was hearing, what I wasn't. And I was afraid. I was shaking in my boots. And I remember going up and talking to her after, and she shut that door in my face. And I knocked on the door, and she wouldn't open. If you ever felt that kind of helplessness, I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And eventually, she opened the door. I stayed there for a while longer, then the Lord miraculously delivered me from all of that. It's a testimony that I have. But either way, I just want to make my point there. And it goes on to say here, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man shall not be forgiven him. Shall be forgiven him, it says here. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. This is the indifferent attitude that people have towards the blood of Christ. The rejection of the Lord's outstretched arms all the day long. The rejection of God's forgiveness and mercy. The people that reject that blaspheme the Holy Ghost. They blaspheme Him. There are other things that can be said regarding that. And I don't know that I'm going to go there now. And it goes on to say here in verse 11, "And when they bring you into synagogues and under the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour that which ye ought to say." You see, the Holy Ghost is the great comforter. He's there to protect and quicken us, to lead and guide and direct our lives. He's there to quicken our hearts and minds. He's there to help us along, to encourage us. And yet you have a people out there who will reject them, who will reject that. I don't understand that. I really don't. Go to John real quick. Chapter 14. You don't have to go there, perhaps. I'm only going to read two verses. But it says here, "But the Comforter, which is a Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." He gives you that peace that passes all understanding. He gives you that quickening and that help. He gives you dreams and visions. He opens doors that no man can close. He closes doors that no man can open. Amen. We need Him. Like we need breath that we breathe.
That's right.
We need the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Oh,
it goes on to say here in verse 13, "And one of the company unto him said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." In other words, he wasn't hearing a word the Lord was saying. He interrupted the Lord to ask him this question about an inheritance. See, back in those days, the elder brother received 2/3 of the inheritance, while the younger received only 1/3. And he wanted the younger brother to share with him the larger portion. But listen to what Jesus said. "And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" In other words, this is between you and your brother, your family. And he's interrupting the Lord as he was teaching and preaching here over something like that. But then the Lord goes on to say this. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness." Covetousness. To covet. You know what that means. "For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" You see, it goes on to say here in 18, before we go there though, but covetousness is an enemy. It's like drinking the wine of the wrath of God and eating the bread of unleavened bread. In other words, unleavened bread means sin. And unleavened bread means anything and everything that is not good and unrighteous. For all those that maybe don't know that. It's the bread of transgression. Amen? And he brought, and it goes on here in 18, it says here, "And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. That's covetousness right there. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that what religions do all over the world today? Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's go have a bingo party over here. Let's go have a church picnic. They pull out a keg of beer. Huh? Eat, drink, and be merry. Are you kidding me? Damn the soul. All the while they do it. Oh, Lord God, help us. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now that's a whole sermon by itself. Right there. Look, if you're not rich towards God, you don't have anything at all. If you're not rich towards God, you're destitute, poor, and naked already. You can have all the things in the world that you desire and still be poor, destitute, and naked. Did you know that?
That's right.
Oh, Lord, help us. And he said unto his disciples, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How shall more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We have no need to be concerned about the type of wear and dress, about if we're not going to be able to pay the bills or not, money coming in or money going out. If you trust God, He'll meet your needs. If you put all that trust into His hands, let Him make and mold and shape you. Let Him do a work all the while you're trusting in Him. And then He'll do a work. He'll show you. He'll show you that He's the one in charge and He's in control. Amen? And then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. How much more will ye clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Did you see that? This is what the world seeks after. And your Father knoweth what ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you go to 1 Timothy, I want to parallel that there. I just want to quickly read 1 Timothy chapter 5 or chapter 6. It says here, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Did you see that? For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. We carry nothing out. In having food and raiment, let us therewith content. Be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Did you see that? The peril of riches. Because you see, riches, ill-gained with the wrong motives, are sure to destroy that person. But if you use what you have and you're content with what you have, even if you have much or little, if you use it for God's glory, amen? God's glory, He'll turn things around for you. For the love of money, it's not that money is evil, it's the love of money that's evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil, it says here. Which while some coveted after, did you see that word coveted? They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know, many people are afraid of poverty. But let me tell you, it's the wealth that people should be afraid of, not poverty. Just go back now. Now here to verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In other words, the Lord has the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's not weary and searching and wondering and worried or fretting over things. And He calls us to be the same. No. It goes on to say here, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, worry does not stop just because you close your eyes at night. But it stops when you know that there is a loving God who is greater than your needs. Amen. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Did you know that he that is greater is your servant, the one that will be a servant of the Lord? Amen. If you wish to be great in the kingdom of heaven, seek to be a servant of the Lord. Serve others. And if ye shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. I'll tell you why. Because they're waiting and they're watching. They're not letting the devil get into their lives and play havoc with them. They're not holding on to grudges. And they're not doing this. They're not gallivanting around the world and doing this and doing that with the world and what the world does. And going to festivals and parties and watching TV 24/7. Doing all these things that the world does. Going out to parties where they drink and slobber around, drunken stupors, and don't know what they're doing or saying. I've been to enough of those in my past, and I'm not proud of it. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But ye therefore, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. When ye think not. When you least expect him to come back, he's going to come suddenly. Will you be ready? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I was hoping we can go there quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just going to start out in verse 1, I guess. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail as a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You see all these governments and all these people saying peace, peace, safety, safety. Ever since the UN came, the United Nations, for example, was supposed to stop wars. We have had more wars since the UN has been in place than at any other time. When they say peace, peace. You look at Obama and all these clowns up there in Washington, pretending to be someone they're not. A fox in the house's hen, in the hen's house, rather. Telling people how that the economy is healed. No more problems. And the next day, you see in the newspapers or on the internet how that the jobs have shrunk. People are being laid off. Homes are being taken because people can't pay their mortgage, death rate. Their mortgage, mortgage, mortgage. They mortgage their lives for it. Well, I won't get into that too much either, I guess. But it goes on to say in verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape, it says here. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye shall all, the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We are to be watchful and sober, not to be doing what the world does so much that we forget God, and that we forget His Word. And that we let all these things, the cares of the world, come upon us. And that we even forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some do in the end that the Bible talks about. Avoid being like them, the Bible says. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together to see the day approaching. Because as you look up and you see the day approaching, draw nigh unto God. And God will draw nigh unto you because you know that the time is short. The days are evil and wicked. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. Boy, they are drunk in the night. It could be day. But you see, their day is night. Their night is day. But they're all in a drunken stupor, walking in confusion all the day long, not being led of God, not being warned. Even though some be warned, they neglect it and they reject that warning. They scoff and mock at him. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Did you see that? He didn't appoint your life to wrath if you know Him. You're not under His curse or wrath if you've accepted Jesus into your life. You have that hope, and you can wear the helmet of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 10, before we move on, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Did you know that you can live together with the Lord one day? That there is hope for you? Are you making your life available for God to use you? Are you making your life available for Him to come in and be a part of your life? Let's just go to Isaiah, if you would. I'm skipping around quite a bit today, I realize. But it says here in verse 8, Isaiah 41. 41:8. But thou, Israel, art my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Did you know that Israel means governed by God? And who is true Israel? All those who were born again. That's true Israel. And if you're a true Israel, you'll be governed by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
But it goes on to say, and Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You see, because Abraham was God's friend, all those that came after him would be in a special place with God. Jacob, for example, was a con man. He was a worm, the Bible talks about. Oh, worm, Jacob. But he was a con man. But the Lord had to renew him and change him too, didn't He? God delights in regeneration. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, it says here. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea. I will help thee, yea. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Why does he say right hand? That means strength, his right hand of strength. His right hand of might, of salvation. Goes on to say here in verse 11, Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They that strive with thee shall perish. Did you know that according to Isaiah 54, that's our heritage. That is our heritage as believers. That God would contend with them that contend with us. It goes on to say here, Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Praise God. We know that we have a God who will help us and who doesn't turn a deaf ear to our cry. Who hears us day and night. Whenever we need help, we can go to Him in prayer and He will hear us. He is merciful and gracious and kind. to Sisir now. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You see, the name Jacob, it always points back to Israel's lowly past, deceitful past, the past of deception, that past that was not yet regenerated. But when you ever see that in the Word of God, that's what it points to. But then it goes on to say how that the Lord will turn things around. And it says here in verse 15, "Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel." Now He is able to turn your circumstances, your sorrow into joy, your mourning into praising and glorifying and worshiping God, into dancing. Praise God. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord, I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Did you see that? He said that He would not forsake them. He will turn their captivity. And I will open rivers in high places, and fountains in the midst of valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. It goes on to say here in verse 19, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. Well, I think I want to go to Zephaniah chapter 3 right now in closing. Zephaniah chapter 3. Here in verse 1, it says here, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice and received not correction. She trusted in the Lord. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God." I'm reminded of a story years ago that happened. As even on the Mayflower, there was a ship called the Mayflower that came. And on that ship was a sailor, a dirty, filthy sailor who cursed and scoffed. And he would tell these people, these folk that were on the ship that were coming over, how that he wished that he could bury half of them out at sea. And some people tried to correct him and talk sense into him. And he scoffed and mocked at their idea that, you know, he was wrong. But then the Lord saw that it pleased Him to smite this man. As they were halfway across the ocean, the very place where He said that He would like to bury these people, halfway across the ocean, He was smitten by a disease and He died. And He was the same man who scoffed, who would not take correction. This is what we're reading here in verse 2. She obeyed not the voice of the and received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord and drew not near to her God. Goes on to say, her princesses within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. So in other words, what we're seeing here is that the Lord had held out his hand graciously all the day long, but they responded by grievously corrupting themselves, by rejecting God's hand. They turned their back on God. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by the cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. And it says here in verse 7, I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punished them, but they rose up early and corrupted all their doings. You see, in light of all that chronic rebellion, the Lord was willing to bring restoration, but there had to be a judgment first. And it goes on to say here, in verse 8, therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then I will turn to the people a pure language. Oh, what is that pure language? That they may all call upon the name of the Lord, and serve him with one consent. I don't probably have time to go to Isaiah 57 right now, but in Isaiah 57, well, what the heck, I'll real quick go there. I just want to read real quick Isaiah 57 here. Verse 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness, was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of his lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off and him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But the fruit, it goes on to say that pure language, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. With one consent means one accord. That means with one shoulder. That means many working together as though they were one to help carry the load. That's what that means with one consent. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed of all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For I will take away that out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride. Thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. And I know that I'm running out of time, but I've got just a few more verses to read here. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. In other words, like true innocent sheep, there is no guile in them. Their defense is in the shepherd of their souls. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all my with the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In the day that it shall be said of Jerusalem, fear thou not, O and to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over these, over thee with singing. That surrender must precede deliverance. In other words, those who are weary, down, cast down, look no longer to those things that cast you down, but look to that victory found in Jesus, that rest. I will gather them, I just have a few verses left. I will gather them that are sorrowful for a solemn assembly, which are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, goes on, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gathereth her that is driven out, and I will get thee them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. And lastly, at that time I will bring you again, even in the time when I gather you, I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. When I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. In other words, I will gather, I will save. He will encourage those who are discouraged, defeat our enemies, heal the lame and the sick. And the Lord will yet come again. He will seek and to save that which was lost. He will turn back your captivity. Amen. Well, I struggled through this one today. Bear with me. I'm human too, so. Lord, help us all. So in closing, just going to do a small chorus. Why don't we just sing a small chorus today? In closing, have faith in God. Number 39 of the chorus, if you want to go there or not. You don't have to, but it's just real simple. But in closing, just have faith in God to turn back your captivity from all the wickedness and all the evil that surrounds us round about.
Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God. Oh, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith in God.
Praise God. Dismissed under prayer.
Thank you.